Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. See the Lord, who for you, your substitute under the law, your redeemer from Satan, is now victor over sin, death, and the grave. Amen. Talk to any supermodel who his picture is on the magazines, any magazine, and visit with the actress who has been on the largest movie screen around the world, and they will give you a complete list of things that are wrong with their faces and their features. Fashion magazines print features on the celebrities who have left themselves go to pot, and other articles about the stars who have taken off way too much weight too fast. Watch the Academy Awards, and you will see a panel of experts who swarm around the red carpet as they analyze the celebrities' jewelry and clothing, shoes, makeup, hairstyle, and even their manicure. People have become obsessed with their physical appearances. When Adam and Eve broke God's single command and ate from the forbidden fruit, they were concerned with their physical appearance. Scripture says the eyes of both of our original parents were opened as they discovered their nakedness. Adam and Eve decided that first they wanted to sew some fig leaves together. Knowing that God would figure out that they had sinned, they hid themselves when God came looking for them. But when God found Adam and Eve, Adam was more concerned about his exterior. And he said, "I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." God set aside their excuse for their priority and said to them, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" After listening to Adam and Eve's buck passing, God realized that they didn't get the message. They did not understand the spiritual consequences of what they had done. After the Lord gave some physical punishments, he gave them some proper clothes and finished off with a promise to send his son to be their redeemer. The Savior would come and cover their sins with his blood, the innocent Son of God. For what God promised on that day, Adam and Eve, along with all their descendants, should have been eternally grateful. But the Bible tells us that they were not grateful. Human eyes continued to look at the physical and ignored the spiritual and the eternal. That is why when Jesus, God's Son, was eventually born of a virgin in Bethlehem, the world hardly even noticed. Everyone knew that a king should be born in a palace and not a stable. He should be robed in silk, not wrapped in swaddling cloths. He should be surrounded by servants and slaves, not some heaven-sent shepherds. Blinded by the world, the people of God, the Israelites, should have been the first to see the Savior and recognize him, but they did not. When Jesus came to his hometown of Nazareth to proclaim to all of them that salvation had come, those who heard him that day could not get past the idea that this was the son of Mary and Joseph, not the only begotten of the Heavenly Father. When Jesus fed thousands, as we heard last week, with just a few loaves and fish, the crowd considered Jesus to be a person to fill their empty stomachs, not the Savior whose body and blood could feed their lost souls. People came to him for healing of their sick bodies, but they rarely came to him to straighten out their sick souls. That is why Jesus had to constantly encourage his hearers to look past the physical to the more important of spiritual. That is the point that Jesus was trying to make when he warned, "Do not be anxious about anything. What shall we eat? Or what shall we wear?" Instead, he encouraged his followers to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. People, being who they are, did not listen to Jesus, nor did they see how he was giving his life as a sacrifice to save them from their sins. The Pharisees saw him as satanic and not their savior. The religious leaders looked upon him as competition rather than the heaven-sent Christ who would redeem them. The government saw him as an inconvenience rather than the true redeemer. Because the world looked at the outside appearance of Jesus and never bothered to examine the perfect life that he was living. Because they only saw Jesus' physical actions rather than his spiritual actions. They had Jesus arrested. They had him tried. And they had him crucified. Upon a cross outside the city walls of Jerusalem, Jesus willingly gave his life so that any and everyone who believes on him would be saved. There, on that cross, the sins of the entire world were paid for, and sinners' debt to God was forgiven. That is the good news of salvation. Because of Jesus, men, women, and children who were sinners are delivered. Because of the Savior, those who once were eternally damned to eternal death have now been saved. To that good news of great joy, almost 2,000 years ago, an ex-murderer, an ex-persecutor, St. Paul, joyfully said these words, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to the Father for keeping his promise and sending his Son to carry our sins. Thanks be to Jesus for having shouldered our sins, for having avoided Satan's temptations, for having given his life as a complete payment for the sins of the world. Thanks be to the Holy Spirit for calling us from being lost and condemned creatures and making us into God's saved sons and daughters. Yes, thanks be to God." Now, I am sure that many believers are thanking God because of what Jesus has done for them. Heaven, not hell, is their eternal destiny. Because of Jesus' resurrection, their hearts and their lips proclaim joy and happiness in Jesus as their Savior. But then there are others, millions of others, who feel no need to express any appreciation to God for his grace. When these people look into the mirror, they see a person who, at least on the outside appearance, seems like a pretty good man or woman. A person who is doing just fine without any need of a Savior or need of salvation. If that is all you can see when you look into the mirror, the Lord wants you to know you have a problem. For a mirror can only show you what you see on the outside. The mirror may say that, "Boy, you look great for your age." It may tell you everyone at your class reunion, they will envy you. "I'm glad for you, but you still have a problem." The outside stuff is not what God sees when he looks at you. When God looks upon you, He looks past the shell. The inner shell is pretty pitiful. Even if you are a pretty nice individual, even if you try to be a person of honor, even if you work hard at being the best person you can be, you, like all other humans, have your failings, your shortcomings, and yes, your sins. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, talking about the part of which of us God sees, says this: the heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. This is God's way of saying, no matter what the mirror shows you on the outside, no matter how good you think you look to others and yourself, the inside is pretty rough. Now, those are not my words. Those are the words of our holy God. Your happiness depends on people not seeing what you are thinking, not knowing what you are doing. If our thoughts of lust and anger and greed and pride were all flashed upon our faces so that everyone could see them, who among us would have the gall to ever show their face in public again? What would your children think of you if they knew your every thought? Or which parent would want to know what their children think of them? If others could see us as God does, life would be embarrassing. It would be frightening. It would be damning. Just like Adam and Eve, people try to find excuses, brilliant, creative excuses, to justify their wrong actions. In 1980, a Boston court found Michael Tyndall innocent of flying illegal drugs into the United States. Michael claimed to be a victim of action addict syndrome, an illness which would make him yearn for dangerous situations. In Oregon, a court cleared a man of attempting to kill his wife. The man said he had depression suicide syndrome, and it made him plan his wife's murder so poorly that he really wanted to get caught or killed by police. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Never taking ownership for our sins to God. The day is coming when we will all stand before the Lord, and He will judge us. Standing before Him with nothing hidden and all revealed, there will be no excuses that can get us off the hook. No loophole where we can crawl through. No attorney's words which can justify our actions. On that day, because of who we are and because of what we have done, we will be condemned. On that day, on our own, without excuses, we will be lost. Unless, and that is a very big unless, we will be lost unless Jesus is our Savior and Lord. If Jesus is our Savior, the price for our sins has been paid. If Jesus is our Savior, the penalty for our sin has been fully erased. If Jesus is our Savior, death's stranglehold on our souls has been broken. If Jesus is your Savior, we have been delivered from this body of death, and we are, with Paul, able to say, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If Jesus is our Savior, we are forgiven and we are saved. On the outside, we are forgiven. On the inside, we are forgiven. From top to bottom, in this world, and yes, in the next, we are forgiven. Jesus will have given us a real, a complete, a total, an eternal makeover. Do you like the way you look? I mean, on the inside. Then look to Jesus. He can bring about a lasting change in your mind, in your heart, and in your soul, and in your eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.